Now, text, as I mentioned, is from Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 1. Now, the book of Proverbs is a book of covenant instruction. It teaches God's covenant people how to walk in godly wisdom in every sphere of life in this world. But there are also, in this book, many axioms of truism regarding what is right, what is wrong, what is good, what is bad, what God loves and what He hates. Our text is one such axioms. A false balance is abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is His delight. What can we preach from this text that is not merely a moral lesson? Our ministers of the gospel are supposed to preach Christ and Him crucified. How does this text present Christ to us? Well, let us try to see how Christ is presented by peeling this text layer by layer like an onion. Here are three layers. The outer layer, the principal layer, and thirdly, the heart or the core, the crux of that onion. Consider the first layer, the outer layer. Our text says, a false balance is abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is His delight. Now the outer layer or the surface meaning of the text is quite obvious. It contains an antithetical parallelism. The two parts are like two sides of the same coin. One side is inscribed, a false balance is abomination to the Lord. And the other side is inscribed, a just weight is His delight. The meaning is quite obvious. In ancient days, many things were sold by weight. If you go to the market to buy fish, the storeholder will weigh before charging you. They do not use electronic weighing machines then in those days. Neither do they have spring scales. The most common weighing instrument in those days would be the balancing rod. Basically, this is a rod that is suspended somewhere in the middle, either suspended on a pivot or with a string at a fulcrum point. At the two ends of the rod hang a plate each. One side is where you put the fish and the other or whatever else you're buying, and the other side is where you put the weights. Now these are standard weights. Later on in history, there will just be one weight, a block of brass that you will just hang on the rod, and you move it along the rod to see where where it balances the item being purchased. Then you will read the scale markings on the rod to know how heavy that the item is. But in those early days, around 1000 BC, merchants would use various standard weights made of limestone. Archaeologists have in fact found some of these weights. These would be smooth, polished, dome shaped limestone with flat bottom. They would have, for example, an 8-shekel weight, a 2-shekel weight, a 1-shekel weight, one pim that is 2/3 shekel weight, and a beka, which is half shekel. A shekel is about 11.4 grams. A beka, about 5.7 grams. These balancing weights will be inscribed or labeled according to their weights. So if the fish that you want to buy weighs, say, 17 shekels, or about 194 grams, then on the plate for the weight, you will see 2 8-shekel weights, and 1 1-shekel weight. So you'll be charged accordingly. Well, if the fish is just 13 shekels, or about 150 grams, then you have 1 8-shekel weight, and a 5 1-shekel weight. And you'll be charged for that. But suppose you have a dishonest merchant. What could he do to cheat you? Well, he will simply shave off some of the weight. Since it's made of limestone, it's easy to shave off. Just rub it against the floor. and some wicks will be gone. Or you may make use of lighter materials to make some false wicks, make holes in the middle, air inside, and so on. So your fish, which weighs only 150 grams, may appear to weigh 200 grams. It shows you the weight. Here it is. Look, 200 grams, according to the number of shekels that is placed on the plate. And so you pay for it. That will be unjust weight, unlike the just or accurate weight that the Lord delights in. Or the merchant might make the plate for the weights heavier, or he might adjust the fulcrum point of the balance for the same effect. This would be the false balance that is an abomination to the Lord. Now you know the meaning of the word abomination, don't you, children? It simply means disgusting, hateful. It's like a rotten fish with maggots in it. Suppose you go order sushi from a shop and a delivery company, the kangaroo or panda comes along and bring you that the box, and it's all in separate box. And you take the first one, you eat, you delight in it, it's so nice. Then you take the second one, you open up, and what immediately the smell floods the entire room, and you see the maggots crawling out of it, out of that sushi. What would you do? I think you jump out straight away. You may even throw up there and then. It's disgusting, hateful. There's something that is supposed to be nice is actually now crawling with maggots. It gives you nightmare. Now, that word essentially describes what is happening. Unjust weights and a false balance is an abomination to God. This is God's attitude towards false balances and unjust weights. He hates it. It is disgusting to him. So this verse serves as a warning to everyone never to treat in this manner. God's eyes are everywhere. He sees everything. No one can expect to escape the wrath of God who does something so hateful to him. Man may think it's so easy, it's ingenious. But no, no. What is easy to do it, don't do it. For those who do it will have to face the wrath of God unless he repents of his sin. So that's the surface meaning of the text. But now peel the first layer out, and we come to the principal layer. Consider the principal layer. Our text says the false balance is abomination to the Lord, but the just weight is his delight. We have seen what it means on the surface. Cheating with weight and balance is hateful to God. But peel that layer away, and what do you see? We see that God is not just concerned about weights and balances. Instead, he is concerned about righteousness and judgment. Listen to what he says through Moses. If you turn to Leviticus chapter 19, and Leviticus 19 and verse 35. Leviticus 19 verse 35 to 36, and we read there, "Ye shall do no unrighteousness in judgment, in midyat, in weight, or in measure. Just balances, just weights, a just ephah, and a just hin shall ye have. I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt." Or look at Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy and chapter 25. And verse 13. "Thou shalt not have in thy bag diverse weights, a great and a small." That is, you shall not have false weights. Verse 14. "Thou shalt not have in thine house diverse measures, a great and a small." That is, false rulers. "But thou shalt have a perfect and just weight, a perfect and just measure shalt thou have, that thy days may be lengthened in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. For all that do such things, and all that do unrighteously, are an abomination unto the Lord thy God." Justice and righteousness are essentially synonymous terms in the Hebrew Bible. In fact, the word may be translated in either way. God is a righteous and just God, for God is the standard of what is right. God is concerned not just about that just weight, but with righteousness as a whole. That's why if you read on the rest of this passage, you will see the reference to righteousness and justice and unrighteousness repeated over and over again from verse 4. Righteousness delivers from death. The righteousness of the perfect shall direct his way. Verse 5, verse 6, verse 8, verse 9, just, verse 10, when it goes well with the righteous, and so on. So God is concerned about that. Judgment, on the other hand, has to do with fairness. Because God is just, he executes perfect judgment. He is infinitely fair and will see to it that justice prevails. David says in Psalm 89, verse 14, justice and judgment are the habitation of thy throne. Mercy and truth shall go before thy face. And says again the same thing in Psalm 97, verse 2, clouds and darkness are round about him. Righteousness and judgment are the habitation of his throne. That is to say, the throne of God is founded upon justice and right judgment. God is infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in justice, goodness, and truth. He is the absolute standard of right, truth, and good. He judges those who are appointed to rule over man according to how just they are against his absolute standard, not merely against another king. Indeed, it is far more important that those who serve him are just and right rather than that they sacrifice and worship him. Thus Solomon says in Proverbs 21 verse 3, to do justice and judgment is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. What essentially is suggesting that even if you have a Christian ruler and that ruler is not just and not fair, is worse than having an unbeliever as a ruler who is just and fair. So important is justice and judgment that Solomon says in Proverbs 16. Proverbs 16, just a few chapters now in verse 11. A just weight and balance are the Lord's, that is, belongs to the Lord. All the weights of the back are his work. Just weights and fair balances belongs to the Lord. How do they belong to the Lord? Well, they belong to the Lord firstly because he is the absolute standard of justice and judgment. Secondly, they belong to him because he is the one who designed the conscience of man as a deputy of the soul. It is the conscience that provokes men to make and use just weight and balances rather than unjust weight and false balances. This is true of all men in the world. Some men's consciences are seared and so they cheat with weights and balances. But would it that every conscience in the world is equally seared, hardened, the world will be unlivable. It will be impossible for us to trust anyone in the world if that were the case. But God has given the conscience as a deputy of the soul in all men so that they may be able to function in this way. God is concerned about weights and balances because he's concerned about righteousness and judgment. Unrighteousness and injustice are hateful to God. The psalmist says in Psalm 11, verse 5, the Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. Now the word translated violence may also be translated injustice. One resorts to violence when he has no right to what he wants and yet insists on it. This is how the word is translated in Job 16 and verse 17, where Job explains that he is deeply grieved not for any injustice in his hands. The false balance is an abomination to the Lord because he hates injustice. A just weight is his delight because he loves righteousness and justice. He is a transcendently holy God who is also immanent. That is, the word immanent comes from the word immanent, that is, with us, God with us. That is to say, although he's outside of creation, since he's the creator, he's also concerned about what goes on in creation. He will see to it that every loose end, every injustice, every unfairness in his creation will be righted. God is, as it were, painting a mural. It is a mural that will span the history of mankind and of creation as a whole. God intends this mural to be a perfect picture, well balanced in every aspect. Therefore, there will be some unhappy scenes of darkness, violence, wickedness, injustice, and unfairness. But every such scene will be perfectly balanced by scenes of light, justice, and recompense. No injustice and unfairness will be left hanging. This is the picture that God wants his elect and the holy angel to behold for all eternity, that they may praise God, their Creator, for his wisdom and power and righteousness and judgment. In a day of judgment, your minds being made perfect, you will remember the things that have happened in your life. You will remember all the injustices. God would have you see that those injustices will be balanced exactly by his justice and fairness. God would have us know that it is against his holy nature to tolerate injustice and unfairness. He allows them today for a purpose. But he will definitely set them right one day, whether in this life or in the life to come, or eternity. Therefore, brothers and sisters in Christ, do you feel yourself to be unjustly treated? You have been unfairly left out of a promotion exercise. Nasty and prejudicial words have been said about you, and no one have come to your defense. A good work that you did was attributed to someone else who hardly contributed anything to that project or to the piece of work. You were blamed for something that is not your fault. You were cheated by someone you trusted. You feel that you have been betrayed by someone whom you regarded as a friend. You were tricked into buying 150 grams of fish for the price of 200 grams. Whatever it may be, whether it is a major matter or a minor matter, God will see to it that all injustices will be resolved. All unfairness will be corrected. All unrighteousness will be punished. And this leads us to the heart of our exegetical onion. We saw the external layer. God hates false balances and unjust weights. He loves true balances and just weights. We saw the principal layer. God will not tolerate unrighteousness and injustice. He will see to it that nothing unjust will enter into eternity to endamage his glory as the creator and governor of the whole universe throughout history. But now we come to the heart, to the core of the onion, which explains to us why God has chosen to reveal all these things in history and in his word, even in our text. So here's the third point. Without going to complicated philosophical reasoning, let us consider for a moment what is the purpose of this text. A false balance is abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. Well, to answer the question, we need simply to realize that all scripture testifies about Christ. The Lord Jesus tells the Jews, search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Luke tells us that after the Lord's resurrection, he reminded his disciples that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning him. That is Luke 24. The Lord is of course not saying that every single verse in the Bible taken in isolation testify of him. But I think it's not difficult to see how every logical portion in the scripture speaks about him. But Proverbs is unique. Well, many verses in Proverbs can stand alone so that the logical pericope or the portion is the verse itself. This is the case with our text. A false balance is abomination to the Lord, but a just wit is his delight. But how does this verse by itself testify about Christ? Well, remember that the divine principle behind the text is. It is God's love of righteousness and justice and hatred of unrighteousness and injustice. God is a just and holy God. As soon as we see that, I think it's not difficult for us to see that the crux of our text is really Christ and his cross. It is not merely about weights and balances, or else it would not be in Holy Scripture. For all Scripture testifies of Christ. Sin is the greatest unrighteousness and injustice in the history of the world. God hates all wrongs and injustice. He hates even the wrongs and injustice against those who hate him. If so, how much more will he not see to it that all wrongs and injustice against him be corrected? Sin is the greatest wrong and injustice against God, our greatest good. Therefore, even as God has decreed that there should be a redeemed people, who would glorify and enjoy him forever in his love, he has appointed that all their debts against him be cleared for this purpose, that they may enjoy him without any hindrance at all. Injustice is so hateful to God that he could not leave our sin unpunished before he brings us into fellowship with him as his sons and daughters. This is why Christ came to live, suffer and die. He came to punish for us so that we may enjoy his love. But isn't it injustice, you may ask, to have a third party pay for our sin when he never did sin? Yes, it would be injustice, except that Christ is not a third party. He is, after all, God, same in substance and equal in power and glory with the Father and the Holy Spirit. He is the aggrieved party bearing the debts owed in his own body and soul. The debts owed him in his own body and soul. Our text contains the message of the gospel under a thin veneer. Tonight, this is the main reason why we are considering our text. Though it's important for us to know that God hates false balances and unjust weights, though it's needful for us to know that God is holy and righteous and hates all sin or unrighteousness and injustice, it is far more important for us to know that at the heart of everything God does in this world is the redemption of sinners deserving eternal damnation. This is what we are. We deserve eternal hell because we sin against an infinite God. Justice demands that every sin, every unrighteousness, every injustice that ever was committed by man, whether against man or against God, be paid for. This is a reality that is relevant to every one of us here tonight. Because the sovereign, living and true God hates sin, every injustice against you will be righted. But so too will every injustice you have done against others and against God. Every sin you have committed, every commandment you have broken is an injustice against God. They must be paid for. Who will pay for it? There are only two persons who can pay for it. It is either that Christ has already paid for you, or you must pay for it yourself. How do you know if Christ has paid for you? You know if you believe in him. A famous verse in the scripture, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Whoever believes in Christ may know that his sin is already paid for. For as the Apostle Paul says, God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. If you believe in Christ and trust him to save you, your sins have been paid for. But if not, you have to pay for it. For the wages or payment of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Looking at the parallelism in that verse, we know that death there refers to eternal death. But make no mistake, if you believe in Christ, you may also know that God is not only interested in cancelling your debt. No, no. He does it out of love for you. Christ not only came to settle your debt, he came to give you life. He came to do what is required for you, who are mere creatures, to enjoy God's fatherly love for all eternity. Tonight, the gospel of Christ is coming out to you in a simple declaration. A false balance is abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. This, as we saw, is not merely about business ethics. It is ultimately about the character and plan of God. God is not unconcerned about the wickedness and injustice in the world. Sin is hateful to him. He is angry against sin. He will punish sin. What man may overlook, he will not overlook, because he sees all things and knows all things and is altogether just and holy. But God also delights in righteousness and justice. He delights in pardoning sinners and in revealing his love toward them by taking on the punishment due to their sin upon himself. And he delights to see sinners recognizing their sin, coming to him to plead for deliverance from their sin and their debt against him. Consider carefully, therefore, what you owe God and what you owe man. Do you owe your fellow man anything? Have you not hurt anyone unjustly? Have you betrayed their trust? Have you failed to keep your promises? Have you lusted against any? Have you been dishonest towards any? Have you been covetous? Have you been disrespectful towards any? Have you failed to love as you ought to? Or do you owe God anything? Have you sinned against him? Have you failed to believe his word? Have you neglected to worship him reverently? Have you refused to read his word daily? Have you been prayerless? Have you blasphemed his holy name by your unholy behavior and speech and demeanor? Have you taken his name in vain? Have you profaned the Sabbath? Have you failed to love him with your whole heart, soul, mind and strength? I'm sure you have failed. I'm sure you owe a great debt. You can be sure that I failed and I owe a great debt. But if you have failed, know you not that God will not leave your sin unpunished? Yes, these are all sin and wickedness. But thank God that there is hope of deliverance in the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ delights to save any who come to him with sincerity. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life, says the Lord. Will you not go to him? Go to him confessing and repenting of your sin. Go to him acknowledging and believing that he alone can save you. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh unto me I will in no wise cast out, the Lord assures. Every one of us, as it were, carries a balance. You can't see it. It's in your heart. It is a perfectly true balance because God provided it himself. this balance as two weighing pens. The pen on the left is where you put all your sin, all your wickedness. The pen on the right is where you put all your righteousness and good works. All the religions in the world say that when you come to the gate of heaven, you will present your balance. If your balance tips on the side of sin, you will be rejected and cast into hell. If your balance tips on the side of righteousness, then you will be admitted to heaven. Well, we don't disagree with them broadly. But that is a problem. The problem is that unless you know the Lord Jesus Christ, your balance will be permanently tipped on the side of sin. Because all your righteousnesses are tainted with sin and therefore filthy rags in God's sight. No matter what you add, you try to add on this side, you can't find anything to add in the first place. But everything that you try to do, you keep adding on this side. It keeps going down. But if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and are resting on Him for your salvation, then you will not only have your balance levered so that you are neutral. No. Just weights are the delight of the Lord. He will not only keep you neutral, but it pales on your righteous pen with the righteousness of Christ, so that your scale will be permanently tipped on the side of righteousness. And not only so, but by the Spirit of Christ in your heart, you are enabled to do actual righteousness, and those will be added to your righteous pen to be rewarded at the last day. Tonight, you're here with a balance upon your heart. You don't see it, but it's there. How you listen to the sermon preached has an effect on your balance. It is either that sermon that has just been preached and just heard is either placed on your left side on your pen of sin, on the right side on the pen of righteousness. None of us will return from this place with no effect from the sermon. Some of us will leave with more faith as the sermon is placed on the right. For faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Some of us will leave the sermon weighing down on, with the sermon weighing down on your left side as you reject the gospel. You will return from this place harder in your heart and further from Christ than you ever were. Every sermon that you hear on the Lord's Day will have an effect on your heart. Make no mistake about it. Your heart is either like a lump of wax or like a lump of wet clay. The preaching of the gospel is like the sun shining on you. If your heart is like a lump of clay, it will harden more than ever before. If it is like a lump of wax, it will soften and melt. Oh, how I pray that the latter is true for you. Examine your heart, brethren and children. Examine your heart carefully. This day, what has the word done for you? What you heard this morning, what you just hear, what has the word done for you? If it has not melted your heart, oh, will you not repent of your hardness and unbelief? Oh, will you not cry unto Christ Jesus for deliverance, that He might remove everything from you, from that left pen of sin, that your right, your pen of righteousness, may be permanently weighed with its righteousness. It is in this way that God the Father will not only embrace you as a righteous person for Christ's sake, but receive you as a son or daughter into His family. Such is a privilege that all who are united with Christ will enjoy. For a false balance is abomination to the Lord, but a just wit is His delight.
Amen.